Good morning, church. I hope everyone's doing well. I was supposed to be on vacation, so this is something that, when I was thinking about coming up here or where in the situation that I'm in now, you just don't go wherever you want to. Brother Kerry. So as I was praying through the week, my wife goes, I want to visit Mountain Home. I hadn't seen them and want to see their brothers and sisters. I was like, well, I'll try. I'll see what I can do. But I didn't want to say anything. Don't like to call. Don't like to say, hey, I'm coming. You know, it's just different. So I wanted to let them know that I was coming, so I let them know. Then I got a text back, yeah, we're happy to have you. And then Brother Kerry said something. He said, come prepared. And I told him, no. This is the time I'm just going to come up here and listen. But then they got my wife involved. My wife said that I needed to preach. And I told Kerry, I said, you don't listen to my wife on stuff like that. She don't know what she's talking about. But anyway, this is where we're at here, and I'm glad to be here. We think about y'all often. You're in our conversations a lot, and we hope that you'll continue to pray for us. But while we're standing for you for just a little bit, there's a scripture that's been on my mind. It's not the first time I spoke on it. As a matter of fact, I was talking about it in the car, and Quentin said, Dad, you just spoke on that. And I was like, well, made me feel like, well, maybe I should search out something else. So I went searching out something else and got to reading on it, but this kept coming back. So let's go to that, and let's hope that the Lord will guide us and direct us in it for just a little bit. And if not, then we'll have the good deeds to be quiet about it. But you'll find this in Matthew chapter 10. And as I read this, is where Jesus calls the 12. You know, I can only imagine back then as these fishermen or what they were doing when they were called, that these men and the times that they were in, that the ministers are called these days in the same way. But you got to understand, things the way they were back then must have been a little tough. You know, as he looked at those fishermen, as he said, come, follow me. They didn't say anything. They just come on and followed him, as the scripture says, and they did. But I don't want to talk about the 12 disciples as much, but I want to look into what, when Jesus gave them their mission. It's the same mission, Brother Kerry, we're receiving this day, and the ministers are receiving this day, is that same mission on what we're to preach. You know, as Peter denied Christ, Christ came back to him and said, Peter, you love me. And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest I do. And what does he tell Peter? Jesus Christ loves you to the degree, as he was talking about a friend, that he tells Peter three times, feed my sheep. And he wants to make sure that his children are fed more than anything else in this world, that his children are fed. And as he's telling the mission out there here, and we'll start with chapter 10 and start around on the 6th verse. Well, we'll just take 5th. We'll start there. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles or into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Yes, the Lord had some Gentiles, he had somebody else for the Gentiles, and y'all know who that is later on. But right now, he was telling them that going into where he was supposed to. You know, and Brother Kerry, as we go, as we live our life, as we go, the God shows us a place and where to walk and how we should walk and where we should walk. And in that as well.
That's right.
But he says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how you feel this morning, but so many times, as Brother Kerry was talking about a friend closer than a brother, so many times I feel like I'm in that house. I feel like I'm lost. I'm done away with. I'm forgot about. But then one time I go to my Father again, who cometh all my help.
Yes.
And as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here it goes. Something, brothers and sisters, that the disciples were able to do, Brother Kerry, I can't do, is heal the sick. But I'm going to tell you this morning, is any of you sick in this house this morning? If any of you feeling out of the way and you need your Lord Jesus Christ, that's the sick he's talking about. That we're to come to him in times of need, brother. And when we're sick and when we're feeling all sound done. But here he says, heal the sick. How do we heal the sick, brothers and sisters? I can't do it with my hand as God did, as Jesus did, as these apostles could do. But all only way I can do it is through the Spirit of God. If you're feeling sick this morning, if you're in some kind of way out there in the world of that sick, let's pray to God that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon the matter.
Right.
And he says, cleanse the lepers. Brothers and sisters, this Spirit, this healing, this gospel can cleanse to the uttermost. He can take anything and he can guide it away and he can come back and restore in your heart.
Right.
Maybe you've got out there in the world and you can't see things the way you did. He can cleanse that, Brother Kerry. He can make us feel with him again as we once did.
Amen.
raise the dead. I can't raise the dead. But I know one who can, and I know the one that has, and I know the one that will. The deadness that sometimes are in our churches.
Yeah.
The deadness that sometimes are in our houses. The deadness that sometimes can be in our own selves, in our own lives. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been out in the world doing what you do, and you kind of feel like there's been a separation between you and God? That separation isn't of Him, brothers and sisters.
Right.
It's of this flesh to right. Him. He can heal the dead, and He can raise you back to see the light. Of Him. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely ye give. You know, when I come into a place, don't know always how it's going to be, and sometimes it's better than some, but as you freely receive, freely give. As the Lord gives the minister, as He was going to give these disciples, as He's going, He's telling them to give it away. You see, you can't just take it, you got to give it. And sometimes my wife sees things that I don't see. And sometimes she knows I need things more than what I think that I need. So as I receive things of God, I hope that I can give to you. You know, there's something here I want to go to right quick, and I come back here, but it's kind of something that I heard some scripture the other day. Maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself, but we'll go there. This is also in 10:32-33. Something that I heard, I want to read these two verses from you, and you see if you're reading along with me, you're going to catch me. But I want you to use that ear that God has given you to hear. I don't know if you hear when I say this, when I say these things to you. I'm going to see if there's something that catches your ear. It says, "Whosoever," this is Matthew 10:32-33. "Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall disown me before men, him will I also disown before my Father which is in heaven." Did y'all hear anything? There was a scripture, I heard a man quote scripture to that effect.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but that told in me to a point that it hurt me. It made me start crying aloud, "God, don't let it be that you can imagine that your Lord Jesus Christ would ever disown you." Let's read the scriptures one more time. The Lord will never disown what He owns. And in the first verse, you can't disown something that you don't own. Brothers and sisters, we can't disown something that we never owned, but He owned us before the sands of time, before this world was created. And He's not going to let us go. He's never going to disown us. The scripture says this: "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, them will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." You go to people and you talk to people about God in your workplace, in your place while you're out here in the world and in your community, and He will be with you and He will confess before them the things that is of God, because you're confessing before them that you believe in such. But where He says right here, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also deny before my Father which is in heaven." That deny is a lot different than the word disown, brothers and sisters. We can deny Christ. So did Peter deny Christ three times, as I've spoken earlier. But did God disown Peter? No, He didn't. He denies him. So as we're out in the world, as we live our lives, brothers and sisters, don't deny Christ. There'll be times in your lives, the young ones I'm talking to, there'll be times that you can deny Him. Don't deny Him. Don't deny Him. Stand up for Him. And He'll stand up for you before who? Before the Father. Not eternal sake. That's already been taken care of. But He'll be with you in those times that you need Him.
Right.
More so.
That's
right. He was talking about, Brother Carey earlier was talking about, you can live your life in disobedience, I think is what he was saying. And God will still love you. He will. But brothers and sisters, this Bible is chock full of ifs in here.
Right.
If you do this, I'll do this. And He's not talking to the devils. He's talking to His children.
That's right.
If you do this, I'll be with you. If you do that, I'll be with you. If you don't, I won't. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But He'll always return to you. Getting out of too much of the way, but I wanted to... Let's turn to Matthew 13. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, just to keep up, to clarify what I was kind of saying, and then we'll go back. 14, we'll start with 14. It's Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." He's saying these things, you know, he's speaking of the parables here. He said there'll be, the reason he's using parables is so that you understand. But there'll be people that will hear these parables that will not understand. They'll see these things, but they won't perceive them. They won't understand them. But listen here, even though, and I'm saying this because I want you to understand, as I was getting back, you know, what Brother Carey said about living disobedient lives, you can come back to Christ as your child. Listen to what he says here. He says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time," listen to what he says, "lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should hear them." Converting. Now, what does that converting mean? Converting means you're one way and you go to something else. Right. Now, you can't see. Sometimes we can't see things, and sometimes we can't hear things, and then all of a sudden, God opens up our eyes and our ears, and we can see it again. You see, it doesn't mean, I've heard a different minister says, you know, The churches are, our churches are small. They don't have to be. It's because we don't want to do things in our life to as I'm saying here. They say, well, you know, God's got to prick their heart, or God's got to set it, and He does. I understand that. But here's the thing I want to understand to you guys. If God can convert a heart, then shouldn't we be, as we is told, as He did, as He sent out the disciples? He didn't tell the disciples, I want you to come follow me now, but I want you to go sit in that corner over there and read my word, and I want you to say nothing. I don't want you to go preach it. I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to sit in that corner because you understand, and there's no use you going out here and telling everybody about it. Same I say with you, brothers and sisters. If you know about it and if you have the opportunity, why not tell somebody?
Right. That's right. Amen.
Because there is a converting that happens. Right. So says it here in the Scripture.
Sure.
So let's go back to... we'll leave our... get sidetracked here and leave our original thought. But let's go back here to where we were at. And it says, as he goes, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils, and freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses." You know, a lot of times in our life when we get prepared to go somewhere, we make sure everything's taken care of to every dot and tittle, you know, before we head out the door. Now, he's looking at these men who were fishermen, not much money, and these times didn't have much to go on. He's telling them, don't you worry about the money in your pocket. Don't you worry about how you're going to get there. Don't worry about what you're going to do. You go. Now, let's read on a little bit. "Nor scribe for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." What's that saying, brothers and sisters? That's saying that God's going to take care of you when you go and do what He has required you to do.
Right.
And you take on these things that He was telling these, disciples. As you go out and as you go where I told you to go, don't you worry about anything, because God's going to take care of that situation.
Right.
They ain't going to go hungry, Brother Carey, because He done said, "I'm going to feed you." They're not going to go without a place to live, because He's going to take care of them in that sense too. You see, when God gives you a job, when God gives you a way, He has already purposed a way for you to be taken care of.
Right.
Now, as you talk about Brother Jonah. Now, Brother Jonah was completely, was told what he had to do. Well, I don't want to do that. Now, there's plenty of primitive Baptists that do that too. Might be one up here in front of you, I'm not sure. But now, as that's being said, as Jonah did that, eventually Jonah got to do what God sent him to do. So leave this. If God's put it in your heart and you're not going to do it, you may fester, you may get around, but eventually you're going to get to where He's put you. Ask Apostle Paul if you could do that. There was a good one. Fell on the road to Damascus. He finally got it. He finally got it, didn't he?
Yes,
he finally understood what God was telling him.
Yep.
And how? What's the clock?
Doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, I don't. Yeah, it does to them. I mean, you can't ask another preacher that. You have to ask the congregation what time. And when you come into a house and salute it. Now, this is getting into some scripture I really love. And when you come into a house, salute it. You know, there's places, there's houses. Let's just use a personal house. When you go into a person's house, what's the first thing you do? You salute them. You say, hey, how you doing? You shake their hands. You salute them that this is their house. Mm-hmm. How do we salute in a Primitive Baptist church? We shake hands with his brother and we hug. We do that. But how do we really salute? We salute by giving reverence to God above of this place, by prayer, by singing, by prayer, and by the preaching of the word. We salute the house of God because he has given us everything in this world. He has given us everything that we need in this world. We salute. And if thy house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it is worthy, brothers and sisters, are we worthy this morning? Not of our own hands, but by through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are worthy. And that peace that we feel from time to time when Spirit is given to us is that peace that we get to feel. That's the peace he's talking about here. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. You ever been in a place where you tried to preach the word? It didn't go nowhere. Where did it go? It comes right back. Comes right back. But what does he say on? He says when that happens. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Shake off the dust of your feet. What's he saying? You're going to get your feelings hurt? Are people going to love you and hug you every time? No. Is he saying, don't worry, I'm sending you disciples. You're going to have the best time. There's not going to be any problems whatsoever. Or if you do, you know, if something happens and you don't like it, just go back home. You know, just go pout. Put yourself away. You know, because that's what you need to do. You need to say to them to dust off their feet. Go to another place. God's going to always lead you to where he's going. Now, God's path. Let's talk about that for a minute, Brother Carey. God's path isn't always what you expect it to be. And God wants to make sure you're toughened up enough for what he's got to do for you. So he may send you to a path that you didn't think, well, Lord, why'd you do that to me for? They don't want to hear me. Well, maybe because they didn't hear you, you went somewhere else, they heard you. Maybe you were a little bit more wise in studying. Maybe you prayed a little bit more. Maybe you gave a little bit more effort towards your brothers and sisters that you knew that loved you. Maybe that was the case. Maybe when you go out from home and you go out into this world and you see how mean and how bad it is, you come back, appreciate it just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more.
Right.
Now that house and city, and shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Y'all know about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what happened to that great city. When he's talking about judgment, though. The day of judgment. I got talking to my father about that, and I said, you know, I read it often, the day of judgment, or that judgment, or this judgment. When was the day of judgment? This is my feelings. You know, Brother Carey might iron me out later. My feeling is the day of judgment was on Calvary's cross, when we died for our sins, when we were given to him. But there's also an every day is a day of judgment. We're judged every day. Every day. Every day I'm judged by how I feel in my heart of what I have done. I hadn't studied enough. Hadn't been with my boys enough. I haven't done this. I might hit a plus here and there, but most of the time I find out that it's mostly negative. But that's okay. Because Jesus Christ loves sinners, and he knows that's how we're going to be. You know, it gets back to one thing. God looked down upon us and saw none righteous, no, not one. No one that could take care of what needed to be done. So he sent his own self through the Son to take care of this. Because no man was worthy. No man could do it.
That's right.
None he saw it of any way. I want to look at one more thing, and then whatever time it is, I'll give way. But I wanted to go to one of the parables. Or I wanted to speak a little bit about, if I can find it. Not really wanting to take, but the use of a parable. But the parable, let's see. No, I'm not there. Hold on. I think I've already used that. Well, I've lost it. Yeah, here it is. Okay, let's go to Matthew 13 and 10. It's in the 13th, but he says here, after he gives the parable of the seed. Everybody knows the parable of the seed and ground, the good ground, and in the thorns and the bushes and that kind of stuff. But here he says, as the disciples here, they said, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of kingdom of God, of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance, but whoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." There is one. That is not what I wanted. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. I can't get where I'm trying to get to here. Anyway, I can't find it. But we'll finish at this, because it kind of ties into what Brother Kerry was talking about, having a friend who's closer than a brother. If I could find it, and Brother Kerry, you might see it. It's at the end of one of these chapters. It says, I know where it's at. "For those who hear hath ears, let them hear." I know it's in here. But it says, for those who have ears, let them hear it. Now, let's don't get that crossed up into what I'm trying to say here in a certain way. If you have ears, hear. Now, a lot of them are going to say, "Well, if I don't hear it, then it's not for me to hear." But understand, brothers and sisters, if we live in the light, if we live in the way that this Bible is laid out for us, and we pray to God for that ear to hear, we're going to hear it. But how we use that word that we hear means everything. If we hear and we understand, as we as Primitive Baptists do hear, and we understand, let's understand that we have been given the truth. Do we know how fortunate we are to have the truth of the gospel? We understand as it is laid out. But to hear the gospel and to tell the gospel are two things that we should do in our life every day, is to tell people about the gospel. I'd say that even kids in college, kids in school, kids anywhere you might be, you are the upcoming generation. Put that upon you and preach the word. Not preach it, but say it. Say it to people. Be a disciple. Now, they were the 12 that God, and they were given things that we'll never have. But as God has called men to preach, as they come along this way, Brother Kerry, these are things that we ought to say. As your minister has preached before you this morning, a friend closer than a brother, tell people about that brother. Tell people about that friend who's closer. Tell them about how great it is. And I'm sorry I can't find the end, but that maybe it'll come to me sometime. Thank you for your time.
God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate that. Sir, I enjoyed it.